there. Thank you all for joining us this morning with our press teleconference with some renewable energy leaders on their participation in a recent U.S. Department of Agriculture mission to promote U.S.-produced biofuels in northeast China. We'll have three speakers this morning. First, we will have Jim Miller, Vice President and Chief Economist with Growth Energy. Next, we'll have Roger Johnson, President, National Farmers Union. And then we'll have Kelly Davis, Director of Regulatory Affairs with the Renewable Fuels Association. And with that, I will turn it over to Jim Miller with Growth Energy.
Thank you, Brittany, and thank you all for joining the call this morning. Let me give just some very brief background on how this trip originated and why a number of us went to China. Really, the trip was divided into two parts. One was an agricultural trade mission to northeast China that covered three provinces and included not only USDA officials, also representatives of several states' departments of agriculture, and over 20 U.S. agribusinesses that were doing business-to-business contacts in that part of China. But in addition, Kelly Davis with RFA and I joined that tour to get a better appreciation for the agricultural industry in northeast China, including processing and wholesaling and the cold chain and retail and all of those things, as well as have an opportunity to get better acquainted with the Foreign Agriculture Service staff, both in the U.S. as well as our folks that operate out of our embassy in Beijing and the Agricultural Trade Office in Xiangyang. The second part of the trip was really the introductory information exchange on the part of the ethanol industry in the U.S. It was an exploratory market development mission that included two ethanol trade associations, Roger Johnson as president of the National Farmers Union, five senior officials with ethanol production facilities in the United States, and the country director for the U.S. Grains Council in China, again, supported by FAS personnel, both in D.C. and China. And our goal was really to gauge what are the intermediate term opportunities to export ethanol to China, as well as to discuss the situation concerning our exports of distillers' dried grains to China, which happens to be our largest export market for that high-valued feed commodity. We had the opportunity to view an ethanol facility in Jilin Province in northeast China, then traveled to Beijing, where we met with the National Energy Administration, which is a counterpart agency to our Department of Energy. We met with COFCO, which is China's state enterprise for grain and oilseed imports and exports. We met with their two largest petroleum companies, Sinopec and PetroChina, as well as AQSIQ, which is the General Administration for Quality Supervision, Inspection, and Quarantine, an agency comparable to what you'd have if you combined FSIS and APHIS at USDA. In the case of AQSIQ, that was a discussion pertaining to distillers' grains. Let me just give a couple of very quick observations and turn it over to Roger. We believe that there are greater possibilities to export ethanol to China than I think many of us thought prior to going on the trip, but this is going to require some persistence on our part, and it's going to take some time. There are certainly a number of barriers to trade, but the market opportunity does exist for China to become an importer of U.S. ethanol. Secondly, on the DDG issue, which is tied up really in two issues. One, an exporter registration program that is being implemented by AQSIQ. We're working through with FAS the negotiations on making that operate smoothly and get as many exporters certified to export to China as possible. And then secondly, as you all are well aware, we do have an issue with GMOs that are not approved by China, and consequently we have had some DDGS shipments that have been rejected. So with that, let me turn it over to Roger for his opening comments and look forward to questions a little later.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. And I think the first thing that I want to say is to acknowledge and thank Secretary Vilsack for making it possible to use the resources of the Foreign Ag Service in promoting ethanol as an export commodity, I guess, essentially, is the way it would be deemed. That really made this trip possible, and I think sort of underscores the department's commitment to supporting biofuels and the co-products. Secondly, the observation that I would, there are several observations that I would leave with you. First of all, one, which did not surprise me, but it was pretty clear to all of us on the delegation, the fact that Jim Miller had been an undersecretary and had spent a number of, a lot of time and had taken a number of trips to China was something that was certainly acknowledged by the Chinese, particularly by the Chinese officials. I think it made it clear that we maybe would have a leg up on some of the competition because of the relationships that exist there. In terms of the likelihood of exporting ethanol to China, I came away from the trip with the sense that there's a fairly sizable potential export market. It's going to take a little bit of work to break into that market in China, but once that happens, I came away with a pretty clear impression that while China is currently producing ethanol, predominantly grain-based, both corn and wheat, using as a feedstock, but also moving into other starchy root vegetables and then eventually cellulosic. While they're doing that, they recognize that there is a limitation to how much they can produce. The food versus fuel debate, I think, is something that they're sensitive to there, as well as the sort of the GMO issue that Jim mentioned earlier. And so while they're producing it, they recognize that the size of their market is significantly beyond what they're likely able to produce domestically. So it's worth continuing to focus on this market for that very reason. The last observation I have is that we all, I think, who've been following this know that the DDG export market in China has been, I'm not sure what the proper adjective is to describe it, but it's been difficult, it's been sporadic, it's, it's sort of on and off. It depends on whether they decide to look for GM traits that they've not yet approved, or whether they choose not to look for them. And that creates all kinds of marketing problems for our DDG exporters. Now, the ultimate solution to that is that China has got to have and got to develop a regulatory regime that is able to deal with these biotech events in roughly the same time frame as most of the rest of the world. And right now, I think they're considerably behind the rest of the world, and so that is going to be a challenge going forward. Likely, as we continue to export DDGs, there will have to be some sort of a risk premium that the Chinese are going to have to pay in order to continue to get this product, because those companies exporting aren't going to be certain whether the product, once it's delivered, is going to be accepted or turned back. But both of those are significant export opportunities if we can get beyond those hurdles. I think maybe I'll leave my comments there and turn it over to Kelly to make any final comments before we throw it open to questions and answers.
Well, thanks, Roger. This was my first trip to China, unlike maybe some that we're with. But I was fascinated by the economy in China and how fast it's growing. And I was also amazed at how many cars that I actually saw. You know, last year they sold 20 million cars in China. That surpasses the U.S. to bring their total to about 140 million vehicles that are powered by gasoline. So their gasoline demand is continually to grow. As well as that, we think that their air quality issues should certainly consider having fuel ethanol as their oxygen choice. Currently, they're not importing any ethanol into China, but they do have a domestic capacity probably of about 700 million gallons a year, but that represents less than 1% of their total fuel supply. They have chosen methanol and MTBE because they produce large quantities of that to be their oxygen of choice to help with their air quality concerns. So we were very pleased to be able to leave them information as well. Jim and I and a consortium put together a booklet, and we had it translated to Chinese. And in this booklet, we expressed our concerns and touted our abilities to supply, and we also included information about how environmentally friendly and less human health consequences you would have if you used fuel ethanol in your fuel supply. So it was nice to be able to talk directly to customers who eventually could import the fuel. And I do think that we struck our goals in that we did have nice meetings. We'll continue to work on that and hopefully open more doors so that we can further the dialogue for eventual U.S. fuel ethanol imports. And with that, I'll turn it over.